to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, January 16th, 2022, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
We've been through a lot these past couple of years with this pandemic. Just when we thought we were coming out of the woods, we're back into it again with Omicron, back to small attendance in church and quarantining and lots of friends and family testing positive. One of the surprising things to me about the pandemic, and this happened right away, right in March. I remember that first week when things started to shut down. My family was in Arizona visiting Susan's dad, and I was here. We were just starting to hear about shutdowns. We had our vestry retreat, and I went for our normal weekly shopping trip to Costco, and already in that, what was it, the second week of March in 2020, already, and this I still find kind of surprising, they had run out of, guess what, toilet paper. Of all the things that a pandemic would cause, the scarcity of toilet paper had never occurred. That did not, but there was this like panic, wasn't there? Where are we gonna get the toilet paper? I had a friend who was working at Kroger, and she was helping people find toilet paper if they couldn't find it. There was this whole economy of scarcity around toilet paper. Well, 2 years later, we are still struggling with supply chain. We're still struggling with scarcity. Sometimes you can't find stuff. I was reading about last year all the cars that were ready to be sold, except they were missing one chip that they couldn't get, and so these cars were just sitting idle on the lot. Scarcity leads to a mindset of fear and even panic, doesn't it? When we think there's not enough to go around, we get scared. When we deal with that scarcity, it causes us to kind of retrench and to be afraid. This is kind of what was going on in our gospel today. Let's cast our minds back to the first century. We all know what a good wedding party is like, right? You go to a wedding, there's a lot of open bar, hopefully. There's all kinds of wonderful food. It's an experience of abundance. Well, in Jesus' time, it was even more so. A wedding was the event that a family planned for years and years. They saved up for years and years because this wedding party went on for days. This was not a one evening event. This was a huge gathering, and it was the whole community. It would have been all the neighbors and relatives and friends. Everyone would come, and they would expect a blowout party that would last for days. The family's reputation depended on how successfully they managed this party. It was a big deal. And of course, the centerpiece was, well, it was the wedding, but what people really wanted was the wine, right? They wanted that wine. And so we often skim over this verse, but there was a crisis for this family. They had this big party, everyone had come, and then Mary says to Jesus, "Son, they've run out of wine. The worst has happened, this catastrophe. This would damage this family's reputation forever. People would leave, they would talk about it and gossip about it, and they would never let this family forget that they had run out of wine." And so Mary says to Jesus, "You know what to do." And Jesus says, and I love this, one of the few occasions in the Gospels where we get a little back and forth with Mary and Jesus. Jesus says those time-honored words that every son has said to their mother at one time or another, oh, Mom, why are you bothering me with this? What is this to do with me? It's not time for me to show off, right? And then Mary says, don't worry, listen to him. And so Jesus, of course, does perform the miracle, his first miracle in the Gospel of John, a really significant moment for this gospel, turns the water into wine, the party is saved, the family is rescued, and everyone enjoys the wine. In fact, it's a surprise. It's a surprise because this wine is better than the wine before. And the steward says, this is backwards. You know, you always serve the good wine first when people can taste it. After they're bombed out of their minds, you can serve them whatever cheap stuff you want. But this wine is the best. This is the best. The surprising abundance of God is what comes through in this story. Where there was scarcity and fear, now there is abundance. And John gives us the punchline at the end. Because of this miracle, Jesus' disciples believed in him. They had already decided to follow him, but now they really believed in him. They moved from fear and scarcity to abundance and faith. And my friends, that is the journey that God is inviting us to go on every day of our lives, because the world keeps telling us that there's not enough. We don't have enough energy. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough money. I was reading a statistic that something like 60% of American adults have confessed that at one point or another in their lives, they have actually cried over money. And this is true not just of the poor, but even the wealthy, even those who make $200,000 and more a year have cried about money because of the fear that there's not going to be enough, the fear that we're going to run out. Everybody I talk to says, I just don't want to run out of money before I die, right? When you're doing your retirement planning, you want to make sure that you have enough, and you never feel that way, right? The fear of scarcity is powerful. It dominates our lives, and it prevents us often from living fully into the kingdom of God, kingdom that God is inviting us to participate in. This gospel story lets us in on a theme, a little hidden secret that you can find everywhere in the scriptures if you look. And that is the theme of God's surprising abundance. The surprising abundance for the people of Israel when they were living in exile, worried about how they were going to survive, and then God showers upon them the gift of return from exile, the land flowing with milk and honey. That's an image of abundance. The surprising abundance of Jesus when he was teaching and people were flocking and there was not enough food. How can we possibly feed these people? There's such scarcity. We only have these 5 loaves and 2 fish. Or was it the other way around? I can't remember. Anyway, loaves and fish. How are we going to do it? There's scarcity. The surprising abundance of 5,000 and more people fed from God's abundance. We have to find a way to shift our mindset from the mindset of fear and scarcity to the abundance that God has all around us. It's not easy to do because we are limited people. We think in limited ways. We know that there's only a finite amount of stuff to go around. That's all rational, reasonable, and practical, but it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? If there's not enough, then we know if we expect scarcity, we're going to find scarcity. If we expect abundance, we can find abundance. Years ago, I'm very food-oriented, as you all know. There was a couple of commercials that really illustrated this point for me. There was a Ruffles commercial. I don't know if you remember this. This is going back decades. But there were 2 Inuit Eskimos on an ice floe, and one of them had a bag of Ruffles, which he was enjoying, and the other one said, can I have one? Now, picture the scene. There is not a store for hundreds of miles around, right there in the middle of nowhere. They're ice fishing. And one guy says to the other, go get your own. There's not enough for you and me. These are my Ruffles. You better get your own. Well, of course he couldn't. The other was the commercial for Doritos. This was when Jay Leno was still very popular. Jay Leno was the spokesperson for Doritos. And his tagline, I don't know if you remember this, was, Doritos, eat all you want, we'll make more. Eat all you want, or there's not enough for you and me. Doritos was the theology of abundance, and Ruffles was the theology of scarcity. How do we shift ourselves from being Ruffles people, hoarding our potato chips, hoarding our limited resources, and become the kind of Doritos people that God wants for us to be? Part of it is unlocking the generosity, which is the competing mindset in our minds, right? There's this scarcity and fear, but then there's generosity. And if you're like me, these two impulses are always competing. I want to be generous, but I'm afraid of running out. I want to be generous, I'm afraid of running out. We have a spiritual battle going on in our minds and in our hearts. And it is the battle to overcome the fear of scarcity and to dare to trust in the abundance of God, to unlock the infinite potential that lies within you and me and this universe, the potential that God created in us and for us and with us, that we might live that way. It's what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians when he talks about spiritual gifts. He says, you know, there are a variety of gifts, but it all comes from the one Spirit. There's a variety of service, of ways of helping one another, and it all comes from our one Lord, Jesus Christ. And there's a variety of activities, of energy, but it all comes from the limitless source of God, the limitless, infinite, infinitely regenerating source of God's love. So I invite us this week, as we think about our lives, to look at the ways in which we are trapped in the mindset of fear and scarcity, and to take a step, maybe a baby step, maybe a little step, into the life of abundance that God so much desires for us, where there are no limitations, where there is no fear, only faith, and where God renews in us and through us the infinite possibility of his loving kindness, of the resources that surround us on every side. Let's unlock some of that generous, abundant spirit that God has planted deep in our hearts. Let's be Doritos and not Ruffles. Amen.